It has been a turbulent decade here in Vancouver, to say the least.
Check me out, y'all.
Halford and Brock.
In your area.
That's right.
About to cause mass hysteria.
Sportsnet 650.
Hughes, a drop. He scores.
I've never seen a young defenseman like Quinn Hughes.
It's halftime.
Horvat with two. Horvat with three. Patrick.
Look at this. Undercover.
Hey, it's halftime.
Now Besser off the drift one. Accepted by Patterson. He scores.
It's halftime.
Playoff atmosphere. Look at the boys go. Crank it up. Let's go.
7:04 on a Wednesday, Halford and Brough, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough of the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you have business assets to sell, email them at sales@ableauctions.ca. We are also brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Yesterday was the first time that I used the cooling seat function.
The heated seats.
The heated seats in the TLX. That is a thrill ride. We had baseball for 2 hours at Falaise Park in Vancouver, which has absolutely zero sun cover whatsoever. You are just exposed to the raw beating sun for two straight hours. Needless to say, there was some sweat accumulation. Mm-hmm. I was hot.
Did you wear sunblock?
I had a hat and sunglasses on. So
and
I felt
a sweater.
Head to toe, Under Armour. No, I just felt like I was all right at that point. It was also an evening sun.
Right, okay.
Do we subscribe to that theory that you can't get burned in the evening sun?
No.
That's not right, though, is it?
It's not
even close to right.
It's fundamentally wrong.
In many cases, it's actually stronger.
Yeah.
The hottest time of the day is 4 or 5 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ah, evening sun's not going to do anything. Morning sun. Anyhow.
You look a little red.
Do I?
A little bit.
Okay.
That's just the alcohol.
Yeah. No, that's because I've been drinking since 3. I will say, jumping into a vehicle, it's such a unique feeling. Because I understand most vehicles, when they're sitting out in the sun for a couple hours, the seats are sometimes the worst parts of the ride.
Right.
They're scorching hot. They're not pleasant. And they will just add to the swass accumulation that has been building throughout.
Yikes.
It is a remarkable, remarkable development. Technology is like so many. Yeah, how quickly it kicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Really is.
Okay.
What a world we live in.
Don't never say swass on the air again.
What's wrong with that? Everyone knows what swass is.
I know.
The best part is
I just immediately thought of John Rahm for some reason.
And
I bet he has.
Definitely.
Some big time. He's a chunky boy.
In a traditional vehicle, how long does it take to really cool down your car after it's been sitting out in the sun? Like at least 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You get into the TLX, you turn on the cleated heats.
I love that, by the way.
You turn on the max AC, I swear to God, in 1 minute, you're sitting in an ice box.
You should sleep there.
I've actually given it some thought.
I actually have.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this Sedin story here. After, what would you say, months of speculation?
According to Ian McIntyre, the conversations have been going on for months. I'd say the speculation has been, at a minimum, 3 to 4 weeks, which is close to a month.
So basically, the Canucks, after a pretty terrible season... There are a few excuses mixed in there and reasons, not even excuses mixed in, for why they had a pretty terrible season. They hired the Sedins in, let's call it, entry-level positions. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to have an immediate impact on any of the top decisions that are made this offseason, and an offseason that management has said they're going to be aggressive. So they hired the Sedins. They switched assistant coaches, bringing Brad Shaw in and firing Newell Brown. Otherwise, it's all the same. All the top decision makers are still in charge. Travis Green is still the head coach. Jim Benning is still the general manager. John Weisbrod is still the assistant general manager. Chris Gear is still there. It is, I guess, not surprising that that's the way it went, but if this hadn't been a COVID season and revenues were normal, do you think there would have been more significant changes than just hiring the Sedins as, I don't know, I don't want to say glorified interns, but it kind of feels like glorified interns right now, and switching out the assistant coaches?
Yeah, I think if there were fans in attendance, who knows what direction that would have gone in.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is a city where, you know, the calls in the arena have affected or altered a lot of perceptions and, quite frankly, decisions, I would say. I have no basis of proof for this, but we've heard from other NHL executives. Brian Burke famously said when he was in Toronto that once the Fire Ron Wilson chant started, and a Fire Ron Wilson. Now, it's, you know, I distinctly remember the Fire Gillis chants. I don't think it was any coincidence that not long after, Mike Gillis was fired. And I remember I was at the game after Trevor Linden had been hired as president when Trevor Linden was brought into the arena to be presented in front of a crowd that was kind of tapped out on that season, to be quite honest, because the team wasn't playing well and it was resonating within the building. So I do think that there would have been something to that if it wasn't a COVID season. Now, some of the questions that you had about the Sedins, there are some, I think it's unfair. I think Riccio put this out on Twitter yesterday, and I actually agreed with him. I think it's unfair.
So that was breaking news.
I think it's unfair to say that this is a PR hire or to say that, that they're glorified interns. Can we play the Friedge clip where he's talking about the Sedins going into this, eyes wide open, what they were getting into?
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. I think they might be glorified interns at this point.
Right.
In a joking manner, you're going to come in and you're going to learn all facets of the business and you're just going to be a sponge and you're going to learn all sorts of things. That was kind of a joke.
No, I get it.
We need to separate that with the whole PR thing, because there are a lot of people that were like, this is a smokescreen.
Right.
The Sedins were only hired because things went so badly, so you bring in the Sedins.
No, I don't know what you're insinuating at.
I'm insinuating that you needed some positive public relations, and hiring two of the most respected and beloved athletes in Vancouver history
On that note, let's hear the Friedge clip, because I think it's an interesting angle to take off both of those topics of conversation.
I think those guys are coming in with their eyes wide open. And number one, because they're not stupid. And number two, because they have a good lay of the land of what's happened there, right? Over the last few years. We know they have a good relationship with Linden. I have no doubt they spoke to him about what happened and how he saw things unfolding and what they learned, what they learned from him. And, you know, I think the other thing too is that, you know, the Sedins, you know, with J.P. Barrie and Pat Brisson, like, those guys are going to protect them. You know, you don't think that they weren't saying, you should be looking out for this, you should be asking this question, we should have this kind of language. Technically, I don't know if they're allowed to actually negotiate on their behalf, because I'm not sure that they can represent them at this time. But obviously they're friends. They've known each other for a long time. And they would certainly, you know, give them their opinions on what they think.
Okay, now I want to play another clip, because it also addresses what we're talking about here in a very broader sense. And it's about, you talked about the internship. Let's call it that. And if this is a PR hire or not, which I definitely don't think it is,
maybe Jim Benning is actually, like, completely different behind the scenes. He's like, Daniel, I wanted cream in my coffee, and I can tell that this is 2% milk.
Possibly.
Do you have any idea how much I need cream in my milk?
Coffee.
Or cream in my coffee, yeah.
Cream in my milk.
Yeah. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Close. We get the gist.
Something Jim might say, too.
Yeah.
Cream milk and stuff.
I'll put some milk on my cream. There's another part to this, and I think it's a good take from Friedge about the first year of being on the job, that very first year, and where it goes from there. Can we play that clip now, Dom, and then we'll feed off it on the other side?
People respect them. People look at them in a almost uniformly positive way. And, you know, when they walk into that room or they have something to say, or someone says, I'd like to hear what they have to say, people are going to listen. And, you know, I look at it and I think they'll have input in a lot of things that needed to have input last year. And I can't help but look at the big picture of the agency that represented them for all those years, representing Pettersson and Hughes. And I can't help but think that that's a positive thing for the organization too.
So here are my thoughts. One, if Daniel and Henrik come to the realization that maybe they were hired not necessarily to learn and to grow and to build into the roles, elevated roles, but just because it's bringing two franchise icons back and it looks good, I would suggest that they'll probably be like, this isn't for us. We got a year to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at every different role within the organization. We learned a lot, but maybe here and now isn't right.
Imagine the threat that they could, you know, the leverage that they would have.
They do have a lot of leverage.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of leverage.
If we quit, guys, guess who's going to look bad? Hint, not us.
Two, with regards to what you were talking about in the internship role, it is to a certain degree. There's no other way to look at it. Is a lot of players that are currently trying to get back into the game right now. We talked to one yesterday, Derek Dorsett. Mm-hmm. He has aspirations of being a coach. He made that pretty clear. That's going to start with a player development job in Columbus. You need the experience. And in this particular instance, a lot of different experiences in a lot of different fields.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember talking to Lawrence Gilman not long after he was dismissed in Vancouver and not long before he got hired in Toronto. I actually wrote that piece for The Athletic. And one of the things we talked about being an executive is wearing a lot of different hats and having a lot of versatility. Is that more and more you want guys that have a very wide scope of experiences. Mm-hmm. So in the case of Gilman, he had served as a general manager of an American League team, in addition to being the assistant GM of an NHL team. He understood the collective bargaining agreement in and out. He was able to negotiate contracts and sit in on those. There's a lot to the job. We always talk about this when we talk about the Canucks, and maybe you should add more people to the front office because mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that need to get done. So, for example, the timing of this Sedin hire is great. There was a lot of talk about them being involved in the American Hockey League level. I think that's fundamentally important because you are starting up virtually a franchise from new in Abbotsford.
I also think that's the perfect place for them to start and focus. I know they're going to be dabbling in all sorts of areas, but if you can have the Sedins talking to some young prospects.
Impressionable youths.
Mm. About their journey. Because I know the Sedins never played in the AHL, but let's not pretend that they didn't have any hardships on the way to becoming the star players that they were.
Mm-hmm.
When they first came over to the first Canucks training camp, I remember a lot of people watching those guys and going, that's the second and third overall. These are the guys. First of all, they don't seem fit. They seem a little chubby. They don't seem very strong.
The Alfred Moon Pie face.
Yeah, the Moon Pie face, yeah. Yep. They don't look like they're very strong. Their skating is questionable. Are these guys really going to make it? And at first, it was an issue. They weren't fit enough. They weren't strong enough, and they had to dedicate themselves to that to the point where they were consistently the fittest players on the team. And they will even talk about it themselves, where they had thoughts like, maybe this isn't for us. Let's maybe go back to Sweden. And they had to stick with it. What a terrific couple of guys to be able to talk to prospects who, let's face it, if they're down in the AHL, they're not immediate superstars. Like they, or even NHL players. They have things to work on. They have frustration. They have, I don't want to say limitations, but challenges.
That's a big part of that. What's going to happen here, I think. I think another big part of it is you've seen the trend throughout the NHL, right? Teams move their American League affiliate closer. And a lot of it is so the call-ups, when they make the jump, they're a little bit more in tune with systems play, terminology,
mm-hmm.
how the team plays, what are some of the tendencies. The Marlies and the Leafs have a real seamless transition between the two, to the point where Sheldon Keefe came up from the Marlies to the Leafs. And you can bring younger guys in there. I know what's going on.
Right.
Part of the issue with Utica is he had to jump on a long flight, and you're really far removed because Utica kind of operated as its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Sedins being able to be a bridge for that could be really, really valuable to an organization, not just the NHL team. I think that's really important.
So we threw a question out for the listeners to text in to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650, and it was, what is going to be the steepest learning curve for the Sedins as they move into the management roles of their careers? We had a few people text in that contract negotiations would be tough. And yeah, I think so, but the Sedins have been involved in contract negotiations of their own. Now, their agent might have done a lot of work on that, but I'm pretty sure they would have been kept appraised of the strategy and the day-by-day. But yeah, from a management perspective, I think that, and also how you allocate salary.
I think the CBA stuff must just be so overwhelming.
The CBA stuff is overwhelming, but I will say this. The Sedins don't need to know the CBA inside and out.
You mean they don't need to come on the radio and explain 10-2C no, players?
They don't. They don't need that because they've got lawyers on staff. Chris Gere is a lawyer. Mm-hmm. He's an assistant general manager. And you're always going to have those experts, those lawyers at your disposal, or at the very least you should, have someone that you just be like, hey, what's the deal with this, right? And that person can just be like, boom. Right, that was, you know, I'm not saying that Mike Gillis didn't know the CBA inside and out. He probably did. But I bet you Lawrence Gilman knew it better. And that's why he was such a good right-hand man for Mike Gillis, because you could ask Lawrence those technical questions. And Lawrence knew, I better know the CBA because this is what I do. You can always surround yourself with people that have expertise in the minutiae.
Sure, sure.
I think for the Sedins, their first year is more, it's going to be interesting from a management perspective and an operations. I think that would be the word that I would use, operations. Because when you're a player, everything is just kind of taken care of for you. But someone has to do all that stuff, yeah, right? Someone has to, the administrative side of things, like when we show up to Whistler for training camp. Wow, it's crazy how we just go out on the ice and everything's set up, and you know, like our schedules are set up and
give us
everything
meals
like
to
that.
Go at the end of the practice that we can heat up,
that sort of thing, and seeing how that all works. Or how does the waiver wire really work? How do you put in a claim for players? That sort of stuff, and also being present in the day-to-day meetings.
Yep.
The meetings would be a big thing, and you don't even have to say anything. You can just sit there and soak it all in. And if Jim Benning is putting together a slideshow, you'll need to learn how to put slideshows together. Yep. And
I can see some PowerPoint tutorials going on.
As in their intern roles. One day, Jim Benning will entrust them to do a slideshow for the group.
Sorry, what do we need to do before we move along here? Yes, Able Auctions, the good folks at Able Auctions. If you are closing your business and you're not sure what all your assets are worth, let Able Auctions help. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, or a mechanical shop, Able Auctions has seen it and done it all. Email sales@ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales@ableauctions.ca. Coming up, I think we should go around and touch on a few of these stories that we haven't gotten into yet. Unbelievable ending between the Suns and the Clips yesterday. Baseball is eating itself, and I love it. I am here for it. And, of course, everything that's going on at the Euro, because it's a big, big day today. And this is it now, right? Is it Thursday and Friday? There's no Euro. We go 2 days Euro free. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to know what to do with myself after the show. I'm staying awake and watching soccer.
Yeah, the knockout stage starts on Saturday. We know a few of the matches, I believe. Does Wales play
Denmark?
Denmark.
Italy plays Austria.
That's right.
And England plays at 9 a.m. on Tuesday against TBD.
Oh, they're never going to beat TBD.
It's a tough opponent. It's Halford, it's Bruff, it's Sportsnet 650.
Joe Girardi is asking the home plate umpire, Tim Timmons and Alfonso Marquez, to take a look at something. Joe must have seen something with one of the baseballs. Scherzer's looking over the dugout saying, really? But they must have seen something. So Dave Martinez is coming out.
Davey's upset.
He is upset. Look at Joe. I love it. I love it.
7:29 on a Wednesday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Appropriate tune. We certainly have summertime weather right now. It's hot out there, folks. And based on the numerous weather apps that I have, also a very strong dad move, checking three different weather apps just to make sure. It's going to be scorching hot over the next couple days.
Can I just say something about the weather before we get into the sports?
Nah.
If you're listening up in the Okanagan, try and be careful with the old matches and that sort of stuff. I know that not all fires are, you know, created by humans and human set.
Yes.
But when I see this type of weather early in the season, like we're still in June, when I see this type of weather and I've got some buddies up in the Okanagan and they sent me their forecast for the weekend and it's in the 40s, I think, please, no smoke in August.
It's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. It's a good public service address.
Yeah.
If you are smoking, just put the cigarette butt out on your tongue.
Yeah.
Not on the ground.
On your arm. It's cool.
Just eat it. Right? Just swallow it.
Just eat it. You'll impress people.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick. So that's good. Good public service address. Two other public service-y
ass. I'm like Smokey the Bear here.
You are.
Huh.
Only you can prevent forest fires. It's,
you know what? Smokey was right. He was right.
Well, he wasn't really right because a lot of them are created by lightning.
We don't need to get into this. Can you pay the bills?
Yeah, don't downplay Smokey's very important message. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions.
Actually, Smokey.
If you have business assets to sell, email sales@ableauctions.ca. We are also brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today.
Is he Smokey because he smokes like a pack a day?
That's why they call him Smokey? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's better than emphysema the bear.
Yeah. He had to quit marathon running. Did you know that?
Okay. You played, coming back from break, the audio from last night in baseball. Max Scherzer versus Joe Girardi. Baseball versus the sticky stuff. And then also baseball versus itself as it continues to eat itself. So what happened last night? I'll try and walk you through this as clearly and concisely as possible in case you didn't see it. The Nats are playing the Phillies. Scherzer's on the bump. He gets inspected for the sticky stuff after the first and third innings, which is in accordance with the new rules. Starting pitchers have been told that they can expect to be checked twice for any foreign substance, and usually it happens early in the start, not surprisingly. So everything seems like it's going according to plan. Scherzer's kind of animated when he gets checked, and he looks like he's a bit PO'd, but he goes along with it. Then the fourth inning happens. Scherzer fires a fastball, which he later said he lost control of because he didn't have the sticky stuff. And it goes, I think it was Alex Baum at the plate. It goes right towards his head. Baum goes down, gets back up. Scherzer then takes off his hat, and he's sweating profusely and runs his hands through his hair. Goes back, finishes the at-bat, strikes out Baum. Joe Girardi jumps out of the dugout and asks the umpires to do a third check of Scherzer, at which point Scherzer gets real animated and starts stripping, basically. Like, here comes the belt. Pants are coming down. Hats off. Gloves off. He was pissed. And then it went back and forth. Davey Martinez came out. Joe Girardi came out of the dugout. Joe Girardi eventually got tossed for arguing because he got really animated as well. Now, we came in this morning, and Dom said that he didn't like this in baseball. And I said, I could not think of a better thing for baseball.
I think this is hilarious.
It's got me talking this much about baseball. It's got guys getting furious at each other. It's created all these little mini feuds. Max Scherzer versus Joe Girardi is absolutely a thing now.
Are the home stadiums going to start playing striptease?
Yep, that's going to happen.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
There's going to be a bunch of ramifications. Now, don't get me wrong. Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred aren't smart enough or cunning or conniving enough to have done this on purpose. This is just one of the weird byproducts of this is chaos theory of play. I want more chaos.
I enjoy how the baseball players have no issues calling out the commissioner by name.
Like every day. Because Scherzer called him the Manfred rules,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he said, these are Manfred rules.
Now on stage, oh, Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
We need a little bit more burlesque.
But no, good, we need, like, this is good. This is a good Joe Cocker.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, it's applicable to baseball because you can leave your hat on if you want. Well, actually, you sure. can't. Can you? You're checking under the
hat. Yeah, checking under the hat. Yeah.
Right.
A very well-timed drop. You talked about this yesterday, and you said I'd had this in the notes for days on end, and I wanted to talk about it because it's such a weird controversy. And I didn't know which direction it was going to go. I agreed with you that it was weird. But after seeing last night, if I'm a manager and I have this in my arsenal, 100% I'm using it. Absolutely.
No one's blaming Girardi for taking advantage.
You know what the NHL equivalent would be?
The broken stick rule.
No.
That was a good one.
But the illegal curve.
That's what I'm talking. Oh, sorry. Not the broken stick.
The illegal curve. Yeah. Because there's no punishment. If Girardi hadn't lost his head last night, mm-hmm. he would have been fine. He got tossed not because he made a challenge and he lost. It's because he started getting animated and came out of the dugout. If I was an NHL coach.
3-2. Scherzer is on the precipice of a perfect game. He's retired 26 straight batters. And here's, wait a minute. He's going to be checked for sticky stuff.
I absolutely would do it. In the NHL, if I was a coach, I would be asking for a stick review on the curve of the blade after every goal that was scored against me. Like, check his stick. I don't care. Check his stick. And why not? There's no...
That was a wild time for the NHL. We don't talk about that anymore. When was that? That was ages ago.
The McSorley one was 93. It was when the Habs went to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
It is... Remarkable that that managers are allowed to do this. I don't think Major League Baseball quite knew what they were getting into, mm-hmm. which happens when you make up rules on the fly in
do
the middle
have
of the season.
Unlimited challenges here? Like
who knows? I bet Rob Manfred doesn't even know. He's like, man, I never thought of that. Like, I think that might be a conversation that's going mm-hmm. on at Major League Baseball front
offices.
And
are pitchers angry that they've taken the sticky stuff away, or are they angry that they're essentially being targeted for this?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. Like, I mean, last night's it's embarrassing for Scherzer because you're essentially calling him a cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're putting the onus on him to prove that he's not a cheater. Like, where was the evidence that he was cheating last night? Because he struck a guy out? He has a multiple Cy Young winner. Like, but Girardi, all he has to do is say, he rubbed his forehead or he ran his fingers through his hair. I want that checked. It creates a whole new dynamic.
Yeah.
Which on one hand is great because it's going to be a total nightmare for the rest of the season. I am thoroughly looking forward to this.
By the way.
Yes.
If from now on, if you're a pitcher and you don't have like a giant dollop of dippity-doo hair gel that you can get at any Walmart, just like combed through your hair.
Your hair is not moved in weeks.
Yeah, exactly. But would they allow that? I don't know.
Well, can they check your hair? Like,
I don't even know. What do you do?
I don't know.
You got like a dippity-doo gun? You're like, man, you're full of do. Full of do. You can't see it right now because I'm on the radio, but I'm imagining a dippity-doo gun, like a radar gun.
Yeah.
And you just point it at someone's forehead. Like how they take your temperature with the gun that they stick at you.
What are they going to say? Like, pitcher, go and wash your hair. We'll wait for you. Like,
could you imagine?
A man can feel a shower coming on.
Yes.
What's that, Irish Spring? God, I watch too much TV.
He's in the dugout scrubbing his scalp. He's got Selsun Blue in there because now he's got dandruff.
I think all pitchers should have some sort of routine that they do when they're checked, right? Like
well,
a couple of the pitchers
night.
Certainly had it in mind. Like they're whipping their butt. Like bring some sex appeal into this whole thing.
So who was the other guy that did it last night? Was it Romo for the Athletics? He did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the belt off real quick.
Yeah.
He wasn't wasting any
time.
He
really made a – yeah, that was, you know –
you're going to see.
That was titillating.
You're going to see. You will see a guy do that.
Yeah.
You're going to see pants hit the ground for sure. Pants around ankles like a little kid at a urinal. You're going to see that 100%. And it's going to be part of the show, right? I mean, I don't know how this is going to go. I didn't expect it to like jump off this quickly, but it opens up a whole realm of possibilities. Like, and if, to be honest, if you were a pitcher and you felt pissed off, would you not do that just out of spite?
Totally.
The strip show?
Unless I was cheating. Then I'd just run.
Yeah, unless you're the Astros. Yeah.
I will not pull down my pants. There's an entire...
You should see all the stuff that I've got on my leg right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't clip that. It's Alfred and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. We'll get into some NBA and Euros talk on the other side. And also, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to text into the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. It is the smart alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com.
.com 7:43 on a Wednesday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. This was always how we'd close out the show. Back at the old show.
Not anymore, buddy.
Yeah,
anymore.
It kind of caught me off guard. I wanted to be like, if you missed any part of today's show.
How about I do a read just for old time's sake?
Sounds good.
Hey, golfers. Get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. I'm playing golf today. It's going to be hot.
Oh, where are you playing?
I'm playing at the lovely Northlands.
Nice.
And I'm playing with a certain TV Canucks play-by-play guy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. It is going to be hot, by the way.
Jim Houston.
Yes. That's who it is.
That is.
No, it's not.
We need to talk about two other sprots that aren't hockey or baseball. We need to talk first very quickly about the Hoopies, if only because the play last night at the end of the Suns-Clippers game, you never see it, and then you watch it in real time, and you're like, that works. They should do it more often. But it is incredibly difficult to pull off an inbounds play with 0.9 seconds left from essentially behind the hoop. And the Suns do the perfectly executed lob it up and slam it down to DeAndre Ayton. Can we get the call? Do you have the call? Because I bet the call is pretty energetic.
Crowder waiting with it. Lobs it underneath.
Yes! It's good. DeAndre Ayton scores the basket over the rim and in. DeAndre Ayton put it over the rim and in.
Now, it helps to have someone of the physical stature of DeAndre Ayton to spike that home. But what a result for Phoenix. The aftermath, the review took about 5 minutes. It was very typical last second NBA type thing where the last seconds take hours. But it was pure chaos on the floor because after Ayton made the hoop, technically it's supposed to be like they play. They were out of timeouts, so they had to get the ball inbounds. But because there was a review, all the players left the floor. And the coaches were coaching him up. And then the referees realized, oh no, not only have we taken a lot of time to review whether the hoop was legal or not, now we have to sort out who was on the floor because you can't make substitutions. It was about 5.5, 7 minutes of just, I felt bad for the announcers because they were killing time. Mm-hmm. And everyone kind of went onto the social media and said, you know, classic NBA. Anyway, the Phoenix Suns, now 2 wins away from going to the NBA Finals. What a wagon of a team. And just sort of out of nowhere, I know that they played really well in the bubble last year, but most teams traditionally have an arc, and it's a slow build towards getting to this point, right? You got to lose a couple times in the playoffs. You have to have the hardened battles. The Suns went from not being in the playoffs for 11 years to just taking off, and now they're 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. Very curious to see how the sad club, the entire Western Conference sad club, plays out. Clippers behind the eight ball now. Over to the soccer. Speaking of, well, the sad club. England, not officially a member because they won the World Cup in 1966, but there's been years and years of disappointments following. England wins their group yesterday after scoring 2 goals. One man, 2 goals. Raheem Sterling scored against Croatia, and Raheem Sterling scored against the Czechs, and that's all they needed to win the group.
When was the last time they actually conceded a goal?
Euro 2016. Well, they conceded some goals at the World Cup, but
even in qualifying, I'm not sure how many goals they conceded, if any. They do not play the most exciting brand of football.
No.
They beat Croatia 1-0 and then had I'm going to use an English phrasing here. It was a dour affair.
Against the Scots.
By the way,
farewell to Scotland, yeah. By the way. They're out now after losing to Croatia.
But at least Scotland scored a goal. Congratulations.
Good for them.
They, too, were victimized by the great Modric,
yep,
who had an amazing goal against them, too. So England drew Scotland 0-0 and then pulled off the 1-0 win over Czech Republic. So now they get the second place of the group of death, which could be, I suppose it could be any of those three teams, Germany, France, or Portugal.
All three. Yep. That group is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
All to play for.
But,
and we'll get the results today because in the big one, of course, it's France and Portugal. That's going to be the one that most people are going to have their eyes on. But Dom, you've got a lot at stake today. Your heritage in both groups, right? Because you've got Hungary, a.k.a. Hungary, and then Slovakia. What are you hoping for here?
A win from both, let's be real.
Yes.
And by the way, I think if Hungary wins today, they still have a shot to get out of the group. Of course,
yeah, yeah. They're eliminated with a loss, obviously, because they only have a point. But they can. All four teams are technically alive in that group.
And we only need a draw between Spain and Slovakia.
Right. So what we're looking at now is a tournament where 12 of the 16 spots have been claimed in the round of 16. We'll get the remainders today. There'll be some jockeying for the best third place finishers.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's still to play for in terms of matchups, because all we got right now is Italy, Austria, Wales, Denmark. By the way, this set up really nicely for Denmark after just an awful start to the tournament with the Christian Eriksen scare. And then the loss to Finland, and then the loss to Belgium. They get through with the big 4-1 win over Russia. And they get a Wales team that, quite frankly, is Wales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not.
I understand they finished second in the group, but that group was Italy and then a bunch of also-rans.
But you know what? Wales is probably also thinking, Denmark could be worse.
I would not want to play Denmark right now.
No, but okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Just because you know that you're going in as the team that everybody's rooting against.
But England, everyone who supports England is pretty terrified of whoever they're going to play. Now, the bonus for England is they'll be able to play at Wembley.
Yep. They wanted to stay. Southgate made it pretty clear yesterday that they weren't going to go in and play for a draw so that they could finish second in the group. They were obviously going to go out to win. But Southgate made the message very clear that we want to stay at Wembley. We understand that we're going to go up against good opponents, but as any good gaffer will tell you, you're going to face good teams in the knockout stages. You get rid of the minnows. North Macedonia and Scotland aren't coming through the door in the round of 16.
Who's the favorite right now? Is it Italy? Or is it still France or Belgium? Belgium and Italy could meet in the quarterfinals.
Right now, if you had to give me a list, I would say Belgium, Italy, France. I'd put the Netherlands in there based on how they've played. Dom, am I missing anybody right now? Portugal, Germany, I suppose.
Germany looked like it has awoken. That team looks like it's got its stuff together.
I wouldn't put England in that conversation.
No.
It's the same old. And it's funny because Southgate did make changes yesterday, right? Puts Grealish in the 11, puts Saka in the 11.
Yeah,
they looked good, but it still didn't feel like enough. It felt like they gave England a little bit of creativity as opposed to zero creativity, whereas other teams...
And the Czechs had chances to score, just like the Scots had chances to score.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't say that Pickford's been solid, but I wouldn't say that he's been a difference maker for England. They've just been very... It's been non-event football in a lot of ways.
So coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Jeff Patterson, and we'll obviously talk about the hiring of the Sedins into entry level positions with the Vancouver Canucks. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I mean, they're there to,
they're on their ELCs.
Yeah. Of management. I'd actually be curious to know, I know it's not a big deal, but I'd be curious to know what they're getting paid.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I could see it being quite a lot, but I could also seeing it be they're almost doing this for free.
You make 35 grand.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if they did it, actually?
And we will validate your parking.
Yeah. We're putting you guys on a draw,
yeah,
and you have to sell a certain amount of tickets. before you actually...
They work on commission.
Can you imagine? Yeah, they work on commission. That's for awesome. Ticket sales.
Work on contingency.
Well, they said no, they want to learn. They said they want to learn all facets of the business.
Yeah, it's true.
If you got a cold call from the Sedins to buy tickets, you'd kind of be like, all right, do you still have those ice packs, I guess? I guess I'll get one of those.
What sort of perks am I looking at as a season ticket holder? Will I get a scarf? Maybe a jersey? I want to know.
It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Another thing that we didn't do was create a poll question today.
Yeah.
And I apologize for that. I was late, and I couldn't think up a good poll question last night. I was putting some effort into it,
okay.
But I just couldn't, I don't know. I didn't want to have a super cynical Sedin poll question like, is this just for PR? Because, I didn't need that negativity today.
I'm glad you brought this up because I flagged something earlier. I was listening to another radio station. I won't say which one.
Yeah.
But a question was posed.
Okay.
So if we don't have a poll question, we can throw this out. This is almost an Ask Us Anything. I asked Dom earlier, and he gave a good answer. So you go to a restaurant. You sit down, you're seated.
You were listening to the Comedy Channel, weren't you?
No, it wasn't the Comedy Channel. You sit down, you're seated, and they bring the complimentary free bread.
The bread basket.
Okay, yeah.
You eat a piece of the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Then they bring the menu, and you look at the menu, and you're like, I don't like anything here. I don't want to eat here.
Yeah.
Can you leave?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You want to tell them what I said?
A piece of bread does not tie you to the restaurant. It is complimentary bread.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to do? What would legally keep you there to the point where if you just left, you would be dining and dashing?
Okay, so that's your answer. You're fine with it. Dom's answer, interestingly enough.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I would feel so guilty that I would at least order, like, a drink, the cheapest drink on the menu.
Oh, I think there would be a guilt element. I'm just talking about what could you do?
There'd be guilt.
Legally. No, I'm not backing it up. You know me, Dom. Yeah, I don't care. I would actually probably make a comment. And be like, you know what? Your bread isn't even very good.
I feel guilty about this. However, yeah. I am now going to leave. What would you do, dear listeners? Text in 650, 650. One final hour to go. Jeff Pack coming up next. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. I should remind you that the Halford and Brough Show is brought to you by the Dulari family of Acura dealers. Three dealerships to serve you better. North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, and Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue, 730 Terminal Avenue, a tremendous showroom on a day like today where the sun is shining and it's bright. Tons of space to walk around both inside and outside the shop. Go visit them now. Go test drive an Acura for yourself. And in this heat, try out the seat coolers. It's Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650.